Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It is 13 minutes past 10, or is it?
Big and bad.
Yeah, well, if we went back in time, it would still be the same time, just be a different day and date. That's what we're doing right now. It is Wednesday, and around this time, we do a thing called Back in Time. Every week, we take a random year and remind ourselves of the big stories of that. Well, we don't remind ourselves, we get Cormac to do all the work. The showbiz story, the sport, the music, or the hard news, what was happening in that year. There's also a little twist where two of you get to come on air and play a super fun head-to-head quiz on that particular year, and the winner walks away with a mega box of classic retro sweets. Deadly. Stingers in there, refreshers, macaroon bars, remember them? And it's all from planetcandy.ie. Go and check these guys out. They are our new best friends. I'm joined now by the most beautiful man in the world, Cormac Battle. Good morning.
You know, I wrote that bit in myself.
And you read it.
Yeah.
I read it before we put up the mics and I thought, I'll give it to him.
Fair play to you, Jen.
I'll give it to him. You didn't think I'd read it.
You said it with conviction.
I did. What year are we looking at?
2015.
Okay.
2015 is this year.
Okay, let's start with the big news story. What is first up?
Well, the very biggest one by a long way in Ireland at the time was that in May of 2015, Ireland voted by a huge majority to legalise same-sex marriage. The marriage referendum in 2015, that was the big story in May. Believe it or not, we became the first country in the world to do this. Again, that was another world first. I think we brought in the smoking ban first. I mean, Ireland... Well, look, that's another story. But like how fast we've become the leaders in all these kind of changes is just reflected in all this.
People made it happen. I know so many people who came home from Dubai and London to cast their vote.
Yes, because that was called a thing at the time called hashtag home to vote.
Yeah.
And there was a big appeal for loads of people to come home. We need you to come home and vote on this. And people did come home in their droves. In fact, 62% of the electorate voted in favour of gay marriage in the referendum. And the results...
Still not a landslide.
Well, I can actually break it down for you. There was 1.2 million backed gay marriage, while 734,000 said no. So, like, you know, 734,000.
Okay, when you put it like that.
Is a significant amount of people as well. But look, you know, in terms, it just absolutely went through by a large margin. And the result meant that the country, like, you know, which was once dominated by the Catholic Church, ignored the instructions of its cardinals and bishops at the time, who were obviously saying, you know, that we can't stand by something like this. It is worth noting as well that it was only in 1993 that homosexuality was decriminalised in this country, i.e. it was a crime before 1993. And at the time of the marriage referendum in 2015, there were fears that there'd be an urban-rural divide on this, that a yes-no split would be, you know, it would be the yes would be coming from the urban areas and rural. That didn't happen. Across the board,
It was a very happy time.
And it was I remember at the time as well, it was beautiful weather. And significantly, Diarmaid Martin, who's the Archbishop of Dublin at this time, said, and I quote, he said, "It's clear that if the referendum is an affirmation of the views of young people, the church has a huge task in front of it." This is great. This is a clip of Panty Bliss talking about what the result meant to ordinary gay people all around Ireland. It's powerful stuff, haven't it?
I think that today's vote isn't actually for people, you know, 46-year-old aging drag queens like me. You know, what this vote is about, like, all of the young faces out there. I mean, look at that crowd. You know, the average age is probably 20 or something. But can you imagine being a 15-year-old gay boy in Ballinrobe County Mayo, or a 14-year-old lesbian in Mullingar or whatever now? And then, you know, in the next few years, you know, their younger brothers and sisters will be going to weddings of their cousins and the weddings of their, you know, gay uncle and all of that, and it'll become a normal, ordinary part of life, and that is what changes hearts and minds.
Amazing. I think, you know, hearts and minds were absolutely changed as well, and even the naysayers at that point, which is 7 years ago now, I think, you know, we've made as a country a lot of progress even since then. Mm-hmm. On these issues. So that was really the very big story for Ireland at the time. Another big story was certainly no jubilation on any level whatsoever. It was the Berkeley balcony collapse.
Oh my God, this was so horrific.
Yeah, this was happened in the early hours of June. June the 16th, six young Irish students were killed and eight others were seriously injured after a balcony collapsed at a 21st birthday celebration in Berkeley in California. Now, the victims had all flown out to California for the summer on J-1 working visas, which, you know, loads of students and kids do.
Sure.
Every year. And Olivia Burke, Owen Culligan, Lorcan Miller, Nicolai Schuster and Emer Walsh and Ashley Donoghue lost their lives when the balcony collapsed. Tragically as well, Aoife Beery, who suffered life-changing injuries in the incident, passed away in January of this year due to a stroke related to her injuries caused by the collapse 7 years ago. And in terms of blame and stuff like that, in December of 2015, a court at the time was told that the collapse happened because contractors had cut corners to save costs. So, you know, it was an absolutely shocking event that happened. And this is a clip of a really brave Dubliner called Niall Murray, who was 21 at the time and among 13 people who fell 40 feet when the balcony collapsed. And he spoke to reporters from a wheelchair he was in, and he paid tribute to the friends he lost that night.
I felt really guilty that we made it and some of our good friends aren't here with us anymore. To the families, the six families back home, I'm looking forward to getting to see you and to spend time with you, to think of our friends that aren't here anymore. To our friends, we miss you. We will always miss you. We'll never forget you. And someday I'll look forward to seeing you all again.
Yeah. So sad. I never forget it. It was just so devastating. These young lives taken far too soon. It was horrific, actually. And that was the big story of 2015, wasn't it?
Yeah, like you know, there was the jubilation of the marriage referendum, and then the contrast of what happened in Berkeley as well. And when you saw Niall there, you can see it in the clip and the video that, you know, he's surrounded by reporters and just the bravery of him to be able to speak about it at the time, you know, and you can just hear it in his voice. It's heartbreaking.
And very sincere. It's heartbreaking. Very, very sad story. Tell me about Facebook. What was going on with Facebook at the time there? It had some...
Yeah, 2015 was the time that Mark Zuckerberg proudly announced that one in seven people on Earth, i.e. it passed a billion users in 2015. So... which surprised me. I would have thought it was actually before that. But one in seven people on Earth were using a social media network to connect with friends and family, marking a meteoric rise in the company, which had floated just 3 years beforehand. And now, of course, lots of controversy was associated with Facebook in the years after. You know, it was accused of extensively spreading fake news. It was always associated with that, especially being used by Russians to influence the US election, allegedly, and collecting data in a way beyond the comprehension of most of all of its users that weren't really aware at the time. And, you know, some people don't care about their data and some people do. I don't care that much about it, but, you know, a lot of people do and they want to keep it private, and there's lots of controversy around that. But instead of taking I found this clip of him when he was young, and
he gives me the creeps.
Does he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does to me as well.
He's a Bond villain.
He could stroke a cat, you know, in his lap. But nobody had heard, like, this is a clip from when nobody had heard really of Facebook, and or certainly of him for that matter. And this is his modest hopes for the operation at the time. But there's some ominous words in there as well if you listen towards the end.
When we first launched, we were hoping for, you know, maybe 400, 500 people. Harvard didn't have a Facebook, so that's the gap that we were trying to fill. And now we're at 100,000 people, so who knows where we're going next.
What is the Facebook exactly?
It's an online directory. You sign on, you make a profile about yourself, then you can browse around and see who people's friends are and just check out people's online identities and see how people portray themselves and just find some interesting information about people.
He says, and back then, check out people's identities and find out interesting information about people. You know, that kind of, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Absolutely does. Okay, let's talk about the showbiz. What's your pick of 2015?
Well, this is a massive storm that happened in 2015. When you're looking back and, you know, researching these things, you completely forget about these stories. And this one in particular, it was gone from my memory. But it was the year that Jeremy Clarkson was fired from his presenting job on the BBC's, like, you know, obviously wildly successful flagship show, Top Gear. What happened was, if you don't remember, he was involved in this 40-minute rant. I think it was in a hotel over breakfast at some point. The rant wasn't about the breakfast, but it ended in Jeremy Clarkson punching one of the producers of the show, an Irish fella. And there's an Irish man called Oisín Tymon. So anyway, he gave him a box.
When was the last time we punched the head off one another? It's been a long time now.
I kicked Anita in the leg on the way into the studio. And she didn't respond to me. I think she's writing an email now. But anyway, look, there's no point in firing me. There's nothing to be gained by that. But so what happened then is...
an apology, I presume.
Jeremy Clarkson, he gets fired from the gig. Top Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Top Gear.
Yeah.
You know, he's a divisive guy. I'm not a big fan of Jeremy Clarkson. I never was, but there's a lot of people who really, really like him. But what happened was then the other two presenters, James May, very likable chap, Richard Hammond, people liked him, but they resigned as well from the programme shortly afterwards and started their own new show on Amazon a year later called The Grand Tour. So it was basically kind of like a Top Gear, but on Amazon and called The Grand Tour. And Top Gear never recovered, even though, you know, Jeremy Clarkson, you know, he did the wrong thing there, because they've worked through loads of other presenters, you know, Chris Evans and your man from Friends was in it, from Matt LeBlanc, he was involved, but it never really kind of, it never did what it did when those guys were involved.
No.
And, you know, he's a divisive guy. I don't know what your feelings are on Jeremy Clarkson, you know.
He doesn't enter my realm.
Okay,
really.
Well, that's good, because that doesn't get us into trouble then. Because during his career at Top Gear, like, he did create a lot of controversy because he was accused of making several xenophobic or even racist comments, including saying a car that we manufactured in Mexico would be lazy and calling Romania Borat country. That's only the tip of the iceberg. That caused a bit of unrest in Romania at the time. But anyway, here's the apology that he didn't bother to deliver himself, but through his lawyers. But you can hear a bit at the end when reporters caught up with him on his bicycle about Oisín, the producer. Have a listen.
I would like to say sorry once again to Oisín Tymon for the incident and its regrettable aftermath. I want to reiterate that none of this was in any way his fault. I would also like to make it clear that the abuse he has suffered since the incident is unwarranted, and I am sorry too that he has had to go through that.
All I would like to say is I wish people would leave Oisín alone, because none of this is his fault.
Yeah. That was about the only bit I could find about Jeremy Clarkson really talking about the incident himself.
His name is Oisín.
Oisín Tymon, yeah.
English people do that. I've heard this. Even the person called Oisín themselves just make a hames of saying it, and they call it Oisín. They used to call him Oisín. And it's like, no,
Osh.
No, yeah. It's Oisín. It's not Oisín.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I dated a lad in the UK once, and his name was Oisín, and he used to call himself Oisín. He was like,
Was he an English fella?
Yeah.
All right, so he's...
But Irish parents.
Yeah.
And just Oisín. Ruined his own name. I used to have arguments. I was like, that's not how you pronounce your name.
He probably just couldn't. He's done with the hassle of trying to explain.
That's probably true. But anyway, so that was the big showbiz story.
That was the big showbiz story of the year that year.
Sporting, I have to ask you.
Sporting is, I'm very biased on this one because I am a Kilkenny man, and Kilkenny beat Galway in the All-Ireland Senior All-Ireland Final and making it their 36th All-Ireland win. This is Kilkenny. They haven't won it since, would you believe, since 2015. You probably can believe that, but it's actually extraordinary that Kilkenny haven't won the All-Ireland in 7 years, considering they're the best hurling team.
I don't really care about this. Do you have a clip?
I do.
Is it good?
It's okay. It's not the best clip in the world.
Are you doing this for the lads back in Kilkenny? Is that why you're bringing up this?
I am from Kilkenny.
I know you are.
We have not won it since.
Did you play the jersey? Did you get out on that pitch? No, you didn't.
Of course
Let's
I
play
was.
The clip. Let's play the clip.
Of course
clip.
I
And it's now all over. And the cheering is Kilkenny who are cheering.
Yes.
Brian Cody and his backroom team celebrate once again. Kilkenny have retained their title and won another All-Ireland final. It's a two in a row this time for Brian Cody and his squad as they see off the challenge of Anthony Cunningham's Galway.
I love that you call yourselves the Kilkenny Cats.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's because there's a place called Kittler's Inn is in Kilkenny, right? And there was a dame, Alice Kittler, I think she was a witch from the 1400s. And I think she had a lot of cats. And I think then that's how Kilkenny got its name as the Kilkenny Cats.
I
said that with confidence.
I wasn't expecting you to go down that road. I didn't think that was going to come out of your mouth.
Really?
No.
Are you impressed?
I thought some cat used to go into the dressing room or something. They call the Kilkenny
no,
cat.
No, it's
you went down the witch route.
Right? I think if anyone I said that with confidence, so
you
it
did.
Sounds like it's true. I'm not 100%, but
okay.
If anyone from Kilkenny can confirm that it was to do with Dame Kittler's, who was a witch's cat, then that's why we're called the Cats in Kilkenny. That's
Kilkenny
I think
cats are a pair of cats from County Kilkenny,
oh no,
or Kilkenny City in particular, in Ireland, who fought each other so ferociously that only their tails remained at the end of the battle. That's why you're called.
I'm wrong then.
Of course you're wrong.
I'm wrong. But
the
witch Dame Kittler, she did exist. And there's a
I'm going to have to fact
pub.
Check that, Cormac, before.
And I used to enjoy going to their nightclub as well.
Song of 2015.
Song of the year of 2015. It spent the first 9 to 10 months in the top 30. It came out in early 2015 and only left the top 40 in Ireland 10 months later.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was this.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Woo! What a tune.
Yeah. Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars. Uptown Funk.
What a song.
It is pretty incredible.
It is.
It is an incredible tune and it deserved to be there.
My
biggest hit in the whole world
now.
At
yeah,
the time.
It's deadly. It's deadly. And we love Mark Ronson. He can do no wrong. Where is that lad?
Mark Ronson.
Yeah,
really. I think he lives in New York. He's kind of like he's a funny individual. An interesting individual, I should say. Because he's worked with like all sorts of people. Amy Winehouse, you know, these dudes.
These dudes.
Help me. I'm someone else.
Who
else
Miley Cyrus.
With? Probably Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, probably.
Graham's mouthing something at me. I can't have a clue what he's saying. What's he doing?
Yeah, it's Charlie XCX.
Gaga. Loads of people. Gaga.
How did I get Charlie XCX from his
anyone big? Anyone big? Hang on, there's something about Dame Alice Kittler. Will you read that out?
Dame Alice Kittler, 1263 later, then lived till 1325. Oh, is that right? Is that what? What is that? Was the first recorded person condemned for witchcraft in Ireland. She fled to the country. No, she didn't. She fled to England. And there's no record of her escape. What has that got to do with...
That's Dame Alice Kittler, the witch I was telling you about. Just to kind
is
of make...
Is that the year she lived? 1263.
How did she get to England in that year, you know?
She swam. She's a witch. She went on her
broomstick.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.